Good morning. Welcome to episode 41 of the Driller Newscast. I'm your host, Brock Yorty. We are live at National Groundwater Week 2022, along with IGSPA Learning Experience and the Irrigation Show. I got a great interview with the outgoing president, Brian, and the incoming president, Jason, who is a hydrogeologist. And that's what we're going to jump right into for this week's newscast. If you're listening to this right now and you can see the strip behind me, you can think of all the things that you'd want to experience in Las Vegas and Groundwater Week, and you feel like you missed out, you did. So you should be signed up and be there next year. I want you to think about what Brian and Jason are going to talk about with the fly-in for the avocation there, NGWA University, and all the opportunities we have to professional develop between now and 2023 December. Because that's the piece, is we wait till December to professionally develop, with the exception of the Jubilee where we take some time. But no, seriously, we need to think about what it takes as an industry to become better together. And that's what Jason and Brian are going to talk about. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Driller Newscast. I'm Brock Yorty, and I'm very excited today. We are live at National Groundwater Association Groundwater Week 2022, and I have outgoing president and incoming president sitting side by side so we can ask them some questions and see how 2023 is going to be and how 2022 wrapped up. So let's go ahead and start with Brian introducing yourself.
Brian Snelton, current president of the NGWA Board of Directors, and I'm a contractor from Aurora, Illinois.
I'm Jason House. I'm the incoming president, president-elect. I'm a hydrogeologist from Portland, Maine. I work for Woodard and Current.
Hydrogeologist sitting between two drillers. This is just walked into a bar.
I'm actually a geologist too myself.
I'm feeling a little nervous actually.
So, you two men are very busy, and I'm gonna jump right into this. Sure. Brian, you're outgoing. This is the last week.
Yeah.
How was your year? What was some highlights?
It went fast. Went real fast. Some highlights was getting out to see all the state shows. I went out to Texas, Minnesota, Florida, my home state of Illinois. Just meeting with everyone and finding out kind of what the pulse is out there was really good. One of the highlights, we presented Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly in Arizona, our Groundwater Protector Award this year. And for all the years I've gone to the fly-ins, never really met with a senator, but it was great. We sat with Senator Kelly, talked for about 30 minutes, no politics, just groundwater. And it was amazing. It was probably one of the highlights of my career. But it was just so good to talk about just groundwater stuff with a sitting senator. And that was probably the highlight of my year.
Would you tell the audience a little bit about the fly-in and the importance of it?
Yeah, so our fly-in is important for us because there's a lot of policies that are getting made that if we don't talk about them, if we don't tell the people who we elect that, hey, this is how this affects us, somebody else will. And of course, it's never going to be good for us on the backside. So we're always going to be fighting it. So it's good to be up in front and letting those people know we're the groundwater professionals. This is who you need to come talk to. Come talk to us. Don't listen to everyone else. Because a lot of times we're playing defense. You know, something happens, we react to it. And now you're viewed as that person that's like fighting something, so they don't really want to listen to you. But we've been making big strides over the years. There's a lot of people on the Hill now that understand our organization, who we are, what we represent. So we're starting to carry that swagger there. So it's important to attend those. And just meeting with your state representatives also.
Absolutely. So outgoing, any last words or advice for the new president coming in?
Enjoy everything. Just it goes so fast that those little conversations you have at a state show or meeting someone else, it goes really quick. So just cherish those little moments like that. So it's about the advice I can give.
Okay, this is a big deal. You're only our second scientist.
Yeah,
I hear that a lot.
To be president, this is huge because we are better together in this industry, and we discover the unknown, and we need somebody to interpret what we're discovering and be able to help us paint this picture of the subsurface. Right. No different as we talk to our senators and our representatives. Right. Water's complicated to us. Yeah. To them, turn it on, turn it off.
Right.
And so now coming in, what are you excited about as being incoming president?
Well, I'm excited about some of the things that Brian just talked about. I'm really looking forward to get out to some of the state shows and really get to know some of our affiliates and who we work with and understand where their pain and their pressures are. And particularly as we approach what could be a potentially difficult year from a business standpoint, you know, we're looking at inflationary pressures, we're looking at, still looking at staffing issues, we're still looking at supply chain issues. All of those things are points of pain for our membership. And so I'd like to see what we can do, what we can talk to about, and see if there's anything we can do to help out.
How did you get here? Wait, how did we let a scientist on the board? What is happening? Is it the 21st century and
yes.
We can't be the middle school dance of, you know, these folks over here and these folks on one side and we all come to the middle and dance awkwardly?
Yeah.
We have to have friends and colleagues and allies.
The other good point to that is it's taken a long time to get us to that point. And it's a testament to the strength of the board to recognize that we are better together and to rely on the strengths of our different sections in the association to elevate them to the leadership positions.
I've always thought PG stood for pretty grumpy. So, I mean.
Not bad, but it's probably true in some cases, right?
But, just kidding.
No, it's been a long road. And I think thanks to the foresight of some really good past presidents and some good representatives on the board, you know, that made this possible, we've gotten here. And, you know, my personal journey started in early 2000s, and I was walking, I think it was at the convention in Orlando, and I was walking by a door, and this guy I didn't know from Adam said, "Hey, why don't you come into this candidate school?" And it was Kevin McRae, and he invited me in, and I took that. Gosh, Kevin could talk, so it was probably more like 2-hour class. I really credit him with sort of planting the seed for this anything is possible, and I enjoyed that, and then I kind of worked my way up through the ranks on the SES board, and eventually got to the big board, and thanks again to a lot of support and sort of visionary. You know, sight, looking forward, how it might happen. That's how I got here. I'm really thankful for that.
Tough question. How do we come together in classroom? You know, we have lots of talks that are scientists driven and very peer driven, and then we have big talks that are drilling driven. But working with a board of drillers, you know, and this idea of us being better together in collaboration. You know, what, as a hydrogeologist, what would you have wished you would have sat in on a class on drilling earlier or whatnot?
Yeah, so I think it would be really great, and is I would have loved to have sat in on a class taught by a driller that really just went over all the basic rig types, you know, and what are you looking at? What is that thing, you know, on the drill rig? Because a lot of that you learn in the field, and you have to learn it piecemeal because you're not sitting on every rig every time, right? So I actually am very excited about one of our initiatives that we have right now, and that's the NGWA University.
Without a doubt, yes.
You know, because that is really a way we can reach across sections and, you know, have something for everyone. And I've been on that committee and working towards the different coursework that we're offering, and I think it's really starting to gel. And I think it'll be a great opportunity for our sections to really come together and put together the kind of coursework that we want that will really benefit our industry.
And that's one of the things, too, that we've always talked about. You know, there's always this battle, kind of between the driller and the engineer, the scientist on the site, you know, my book says this, but in reality, this is what's going to happen. And how do we bridge that gap and have that conversation where we understand each other? And I think the drilling basics is a good start to have that education where all these sections can start to have those conversations and understand the basics of everything. So I think that's a huge step for our organization, for the industry, all that stuff to kind of get rid of some of those, you know, I stay on my side, you stay on your side, you know, we'll talk when we need to, but more having collaborative conversations and moving us forward.
Right, and giving us a common language to speak to, yep. Right? Because yep. We don't always use the same things for things, right? So, like, I'll give you an instance. For instance, I was working on a job site in East Texas, and I had a driller refer to something as gumbo, and I'm like, oh, great, when are we going to lunch? You know, and then I come to find out, well, gumbo is that mud that sticks to the bottom of your feet, that's clay, that's swelling clays, and so, like, okay, so let's get to a common language that we can all speak, right. and I think, you know, Groundwater University, that's going to move us forward in that direction. Yeah. And I think it also is an opportunity for us to work together on coursework. And, yeah. and I think it's critical for geologists, scientists, engineers to understand what the drilling industry has learned over the years and what they have to offer to us. And you know, there's a certain piece of that that requires some humility. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, you don't, coming out of school, you don't know everything. In fact, you may not know anything. And so you have to get trained in the field on it. And one of the best assets you have is that guy sitting over there who's running the tools up and down the hole because he's been there for a long time. And he's done this longer than you have. And so you keep your ears open. Yes, we have a job to do. We have to log the soils. We have to do what our boss back in the office has told us. But, you know, look at it as a cooperative experience and go into it as I can learn something from this.
I couldn't agree more. We have the same dichotomy going on as a driller standing on the platform as maybe I don't call it gumbo. You know, maybe I go, look at this red shale. And then, you know, you get that one poke in the side. Oh, you tell me that's just clay, right. You know, or something like that. Or we're worried that's going to happen. So, you know, the being proven in tribal field knowledge and experience. And my favorite term is experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. Mm-hmm. That's drilling. Yep. Like, I'm too fat to be an astronaut. So the next place that I can discover the unknown
right.
is downhole.
Right.
You know, and so now I have a hydrogeologist or a geologist on site or, you know, I have things I don't want to ask, but I also don't want to come across as
right.
an idiot.
Well, the one thing I like to say always is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
That's absolutely right.
You know, and I say that to employees of mine that are new. I say it to when I talk to engineers on a job site or something like that, and I show them our drill rig and walking them around and showing them what a drill bit is and what this is and what we're doing, why we're doing it. And they look and they're like, well, I got this really dumb question to ask you. I said, nope, only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So ask away. I'd be happy to do anything and teach you. And that's the nature of most drillers. They love bragging about what they do. And if somebody is going to ask them questions and they can expound on their experience and their knowledge, they love to do it. So ask the questions.
And I think that goes both ways, right?
Like, right.
We tend to put, you know, as consultants, we tend to put the younger guys out there in the field, right? Well, first thing, we want them to get the experience, right? That we want them to understand that whatever is going to go wrong will go wrong, and that you have to be ready to adapt to it. And so we'll put them out, you know, we'll give them training, we put them out in the field. But the most important thing to tell them is, you know, if you run into an issue, talk to the driller first. If you guys can't work it out, give me a call, and we'll work it out together, you know? And I think sometimes, you know, I wish everybody got that message.
Right.
I don't know that it's always translated.
We do have a war on knowledge
yep.
when it comes to if it's tribal knowledge or it's the Groundwater and Wells book or
yep.
Marvin's Art of Water Wells. I mean, two books that everybody should have dog-eared
yep.
and we should be talking about. But it's like, oh, you're just going to go pull that out of page 36 right now? And it's like, yeah. Yeah, I am. You should too.
Right.
And also, you can see where I've written on the side of it, like,
right.
this is my experience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we just had a crazy year of water legislation and droughts, and you're a scientist. This is near and dear to your heart with everything that's going on. What does 2023 look like from there? You know, we've talked economy and whatnot, but we got Colorado River Compact. Yep. We got all sorts of things happening in California, but we also have droughts in the Northeast. Yep. You know, we have floods. We have some big water events happening. Yep. How does this fit?
I think this fits in, you know, because we are planning another fly-in for March. I think it's the 22nd, 23rd. And we are definitely planning for that to be in person. And those are key issues that are going to come up. And these are, you know, like you said, the only thing those folks know is that you turn a lever and some water comes out of it. But they don't really understand necessarily what it takes to get that water. And we're, and frankly, you know, as an industry, we have to start looking at groundwater as part of the infrastructure.
Yep.
The fact is that that is our reservoir, right? And, you know, this is one of our big initiatives is managed aquifer recharge. So we should be pushing for that when we get there. And we should be pushing for all of the things that impact our industry, like the 40 hours of CDL training that are now required, right? So those are things that topics that will come up that we will visit with our senators and, well, their minions, and our congresspeople, and really push our agenda and really help them to understand that if they want a resilient water supply, groundwater has to be a key piece of that.
I think a big piece, and I'd like both of your input on this, is we're so busy. Mm-hmm. And again, it's tribal and self-taught, and it's water is necessary everywhere right now. Same as geothermal, all the drilling that's going on. I don't have time. How did you guys find time to get to here? Like, this is, you know, if we're going to do the fly-in or we're going to plan to professionally develop together at Groundwater Week, what's your advice?
Well, I mean, you have to look at it from two perspectives, right? Giving back. So what do I have that I can give back fairly easily? Well, maybe not fairly easily, but I can give it back, and that's my time and my knowledge. So I think that's a piece of it. And also from a self-serving perspective, this is our industry. If we want to be able to continue in this industry going forward into the future, we got to step up and be prepared to advocate for it.
And I'll piggyback to that, and we've discussed this on a previous podcast and stuff, is, you know, you have to find the time, you got to make the time to do these things because they're important. And, you know, one of the things that I found in my travels this year is, everyone, how do we get new people in? How do I find new employees? And one of our big part of the education part of it is getting into our schools, talking to those vocational people. Not everyone's going to go to college, right? But we need to find those people and let them know that our industry exists, and they just don't know about it. So we have to take that time and go talk to school kids. Let them know what we're doing. We need to talk to our representatives. Let them know who we are, what we're doing. So it takes time. You have to give it in. And I know we're busy. I'm extremely busy. I also have kids in travel sports. But you got to make that time. And there's a short period of time that you may do a lot of stuff, but it's worth it in the end. And I mean, it's just making the industry better. So I encourage a lot of people just to get involved.
Absolutely. And I think we really need to take the long view of this, right? I mean, as an industry, we're suffering from years and years of neglect on education about earth sciences. And so through Awesome Aquifer and some of these other programs we have a chance to plant seeds at a very young age and get them interested and excited about groundwater. You know, and move that progression up through until, you know, it's almost a seamless transition from Awesome Aquifer into NGWA University and generate that passion in the young people, because that's what we need. Not everybody can be an attorney, right? I mean, we need people in STEM, we need people hands-on working towards solutions. Okay. Because let me tell you, water stress is not going away, and it's only going to get worse.
Right. And we're going to need those people.
You know, from the awesome aquifer standpoint, all my children talk about is when a science teacher makes a volcano.
Yeah.
So you guys figure out how to make an artesian.
Yeah.
That same way. We spray some room full of water.
Right, yeah.
All right. There you go.
Maybe get Mrs. French, you know, covered in water. Yeah. We'll have it. Final advice for incoming president?
You know, like I said before, enjoy the ride, enjoy talking with people. You know, it's a very short window. A year goes by so fast. And just soak it in, enjoy it, you know, learn what you can, walk away from every conversation learning something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a real key, and I want to thank Brian for his year of service and for really helping guide me along the way. You know, we've had a lot of meetings, and, and this is how things are going, and that's great to get that kind of transition. So, really looking forward to 2023, and really thankful that Brian was 2022.
Yeah, we're in good hands with Jason. I know that.
Welcome, President.
No, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Rock. It's always fun.
This is NGWA Groundwater Week 2022, and if you're watching this morning, you're listening to the podcast, and you're like, I didn't go, you should have been here. You should be signed up for next year and approach both of these men. Find them on LinkedIn, find them through their emails. Easy to talk to, and we are better together, and you can see that by the conversation we've had today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brock.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for episode 41 of the Driller Newscast. Get signed up for the National Groundwater Week Conference. Pay attention to all the great things that are happening in driller.com. And it's the end of the night. We got the strip behind us. Got some Johnny Walker going on. And look who I found hanging out. Captain Jake Fletcher, retired, but industry professional, writes the leadership columns for us at thedriller.com. And Jake, give your elevator pitch on why you should come to Vegas in a Groundwater Week.
Well, aside from being biased because I live here, Groundwater Week is a great opportunity not only to catch up with old friends, but to meet new people and to learn a bunch of new things and just network, because we're better together.
100%, we're better together. Be here next year, 2023. And for everybody that we saw at the booth and we got to hang out with, and those that got to win the hard hat, cheers. It's been an awesome week. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers, buddy.